You're listening to the Chicago Audible Podcast, changing up the way Bears fans stay up to date on their favorite team since 2015. Now get ready, because it's time to bear down.
Welcome back, Bears fans, to another episode of the Chicago Audible Podcast. I'm your host for tonight's show, Nicholas Moriano, and for this week's edition for the Meet the Opponent episode, I'm joined by Grace Remington, who's a sports reporter and anchor for 10 Tampa Bay. And in our discussion, you'll learn more about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, what exactly are their strengths on offense and defense, and who are some key guys to watch out for Thursday night's matchup. Here's my discussion with Grace Remington. Thank you for, one, making this happen. I literally DM'd you about 5 hours ago, and we are here right now about to talk Bears, Bucks, and just want to know, how are you doing today?
Awesome. We were just talking about Tampa Bay is like the epicenter of the sports world now. Lightning, Stanley Cup champs for the first time since 2004. We got the Rays. Looks they're beating the Yankees now in game two of the ALDS, so we'll see how that goes. And then the Bucks, which are hopefully Super Bowl contenders. Tom Brady's kind of the game changer there. So it's happening times down here.
Yeah, and obviously we're going to talk about Tom Brady and that entire Bucks team. And where I kind of want to start my conversation here with you is with that Bucks offense. But first I want to just start off with some of the injury news that came out today. Looks like Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Scotty Miller, and Justin Watson didn't practice today. What is your level of concern for these guys playing on Thursday night?
Yeah, well, I think, first of all, with the short week, you're going to have a lot of guys taking off days anyways, because when you play Sunday and Thursday, you don't really practice, which some guys like. It's just like glorified walkthroughs, basically. So, you know, they're beat up from the game before. They'd be taking a break anyways. But, yeah, this injury list is no joke. It looks like a CVS receipt. It's so long. I'm pulling it up right now. Mike Evans actually played through that ankle injury on Sunday, so I think he will end up being a go on Thursday. Leonard Fournette, Bruce Arians already said, is a game-time decision. Chris Godwin probably won't go because he's missed two games already. He's had hamstring injuries before. O.J. Howard, obviously, out for the season. That's a huge loss. LeSean McCoy could come back. I think Scotty Miller will play because he actually played through that hip and groin injury on Sunday. I think Justin Watson will go too, but I mean, Bucks are lucky. They have a lot of depth, but I mean, it is concerning because when you saw Chris Godwin not playing last week, that just opened up so many more opportunities for Mike Evans. Tom Brady loves Scotty Miller. He calls him Scooter, loves targeting him. People are asking, you know, is he maybe like the Julian Edelman type? Because he's just so small and speedy. But I think the bigger concern, it's not the receiving game, it's more in the run game, because that's where the Bucs struggled all last year anyways. It took them until the last week of the season just to produce a 100-yard rusher. That already happened in week four. Rojo got a career high in rushing yards, 111 yards on 20 carries. So he's a go, and he's the number one guy. But behind him is Keyshawn Vaughn, which we didn't even know if he would make the roster this season. But Tom Brady has already placed trust in him. Keyshawn Vaughn actually scored the game-winning touchdown in the fourth quarter as a rookie, and that was only his second game. He's only gotten offensive touches in one game this year. So that was interesting to see Tom Brady put so much trust in him in a big moment. But I'd say the run game is where you really start to get worried if you're a Bucks fan, because if one of those guys go out, there's literally no one else. Byron Leftwich, or it may have been Bruce Arians. Yeah, Bruce Arians made the joke today. If one of them goes down, he's bringing in the running back coach. who's like 50 years old, as the emergency running back. So, you know, they have a lot of receiving threats, but the running back is where there's definitely a concern.
Gotcha. And so kind of transitioning here, how would you maybe assess Tom Brady's play so far through four games? Last week, you see the five touchdowns of five different receivers. You also see a pick six. But how would you just assess his play so far?
Well, I think we've seen him get better and better every week. And that's just the result of having more practice time, more reps with your teammates, getting to know them. I think he actually put it best. A couple weeks ago, he said, you know, it's like I was in a 20-year marriage. Now I've been dating a new girl for just 6 weeks. It's obviously, that's a whole change in your lifestyle, you know, developing that chemistry. And then, you know, every team is at a disadvantage this year with no off-season programs. So he, you know, he scheduled those private workout sessions at a local high school here. You may have seen the creeper helicopter shots all of us TV stations sent out there to like stalk them. But so they were getting their work in, but it's been improving every week. And I think the biggest thing we were all wondering is, where are the explosive plays? And we finally got them this week. There was one touchdown drive. It was just two plays to Scotty Miller. One was like a 40-something yard pass, and then he followed it up with a 19-yard touchdown. So he's finally, and a lot of these chunk plays, he's hitting his receivers in stride. The first couple weeks, there was some miscommunication. We're not seeing so much of that anymore. The 43-year-old still has the arm strength. He's still got the deep ball. So I think we're seeing more trust with his wide receivers. So the scary thing for other NFL teams is that this offense can be pretty good, and we haven't seen it at its full potential yet. After every game, they've won three in a row, and after every game, all they do is pick apart the offense. All Tom Brady does is complain about what they did wrong. So, like, the fact that, you know, there's such a perfectionist mindset here, and we've seen really good things, but they're still not happy. I think this offense can be pretty scary.
Yeah, well, for Bears fans, I'm pretty sure they're hoping that they don't figure it out just yet right. on Thursday night. Now going to, like, that offensive line that's helping Tom Brady to complete these passes, all these receivers, and starting to get those explosive plays like you just mentioned, they just have allowed five sacks on the season and none versus the Chargers last week. Why do you think that unit has had such a good start to the season, including, you know, rookie right tackle Tristan Wirfs, who went to my alma mater, the University of Iowa? Everyone looks like they're gelling right now. Why do you think that is?
Well, exactly what you said, and Tom Brady said it in his media availability today. They're just coordinated. They communicate well. They're tough. And we finally see them getting a push at the line of scrimmage this year. And, yeah, you mentioned Tristan Wirfs. Honestly, if he keeps playing like he is, he could be in talk for, you know, rookie of the year. I don't know if I want to say Pro Bowl for a rookie. It could happen. But he's gone up against Cam Jordan, Joey Bosa, and is pretty much, you know, beating them at every snap. And, I mean, it's rare to see an offensive lineman who's so athletic. He's had a couple videos that have gone viral of him jumping out of a pool, like a 3 foot, he's in 3 feet of water and jumping, doing a box jump. He's like, what, 300 pounds? Who does that? And then it's not just, like, he's balanced at the snap, but he also has a good recovery, too. And, I mean, I just try to imagine being in his shoes. I mean, he wasn't even born when Tom Brady started playing. Now he's blocking for the greatest of all time. Like, that's so intimidating. But you never hear about him. The coaches never talk about him, which is a really good thing for an offensive lineman. So I think Donovan Smith, he's on the left side. He had an awful game one, but we're not talking about him anymore either. So, I mean, I think everyone's just starting to gel now.
And that's what the Bears fans also don't want to hear is that offensive line is having some really good success sticking with that offense. O.J. Howard was unfortunately placed with IR this week, and it looks like he was just getting like a feel for Bruce Arians' offense. So who really steps up at that tight end position? Rob Gronkowski has had, I would say, a slow start to the season, but how do you think the tight end group will manage without O.J. Howard?
Well, the thing is with tight ends and Bruce Arians is he doesn't use them in the passing game, which is why it was so comical when a few weeks ago Rob Gronkowski kind of went viral for saying, because we were asking him in his press conference, you know, where's the production? He was like, I'm a blocking tight end, baby. And we're like, we all know that's a lie. That's not why you get paid. I mean, he and Tom Brady have combined for 90 touchdowns in his 9 seasons, which is the most for any Tom Brady target. So it was kind of like a head scratcher when Bruce Arians signed him, because he just doesn't use tight ends like that. But Gronk has played the second most snaps of anyone on the team. Besides, when you go to the skill players, obviously quarterback, O-line, they play all the snaps. Then it goes Mike Evans and Gronk. Bruce Arians, nothing's going to change with Gronk. He's still going to be out there. So we're going to see Cam Braitmore. And that'll actually be fun because he's from Naperville. So this game is kind of like a homecoming for him. And he was such a big red zone threat before Bruce Arians came along. Then we kind of saw a dip in his production naturally. He's only been on the field for about like a tenth of the plays this year just because there's so many guys above him on the depth chart. But it was interesting because he was talking about the Bears game 2 years ago. I don't know if you remember, they blew the Bucks out. It was like 48-10. And Cam Brate said today that was the worst loss of his football career, one of the worst losses ever. So the Bucks are kind of hoping to redeem themselves, and it's almost like poetry. Cam Brate could be the guy in his hometown to like take this whole thing full circle. He's only had 2 targets all season. He got his first catch on Sunday against the Chargers, and it was a touchdown catch, so he made it count. But I think, like Arian said today, you can't replace OJ. He's a tight end who looks like a receiver because he runs like one. But you'll see Cam Brate step up. You'll also see Tanner Hudson, who's on the practice squad. But he actually played in some games last year. He's not a blocking tight end, but yeah, Gronk has actually praised him on his route running, so we'll see what he does. But I think it'll be fun to see Cam Brate kind of revert back to, you know, the touchdown machine that we all knew him for a couple years ago.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he also said that he's a big fan of Jay Cutler when they played a few years ago. So I'm like, interesting guy to choose there.
Right.
But, Grace, is there a name on this offense that Bears fans need to know about going into Thursday night's matchup?
Oh, man. I would have said Tristan Wirfs, but we talked about him a good bit. Let's see. I'm going to say Keyshawn Vaughn, because I think it's pretty impressive, if you want to call it a comeback, but he actually missed the start of training camp because he was in the COVID-19 protocol. We don't know if he was infected or if he just came into contact with someone, but he missed time. And with Leonard Fournette and Shady McCoy and Rojo above him on the depth chart, we were all wondering, is he even going to make the team, even as a fifth-round draft pick? So I think it's pretty impressive that he's already shown his trust in just a couple weeks. Tom Brady loves him. It's Brady's nickname. We found out it's actually a childhood name. He goes by Sneak Vaughn, because he used to like sneak snacks out of the refrigerator when he's a little kid, I guess. And now Brady, you know, they had a moment after the touchdown. He was like, I love you, Sneak. And like, what a confidence booster for a young 20-something-year-old to have Brady say, I love you, man. But he had a couple good runs. So I would say look out for him, because Tom Brady, like, it doesn't matter if you were just elevated from the practice squad or if you're Mike Evans. He's all about do your job, obviously. Bill Belichick, he heard that for 20 years. Do your job. If you get the job done, he's going to find you. And this is a rookie most people don't know about. So, yeah, I would say that's who you should watch.
Yeah, Tom Brady likes to distribute the football regardless of who it is, like you just mentioned there, Grace. Now moving kind of the defensive side of the ball, what has led to the Bucs just having so much success in stopping the opponent's rushing attack?
Yeah, well, and this is a thing. It's Thursday night primetime. I'm so happy the Bucs are finally getting this national attention because people will finally see the stellar defense that they had last year. There was just no one paid attention to the Bucs last year. But yeah, they were number one against the run for a reason. They signed Shaq Barrett, who Denver kind of let walk. He, you know, was behind guys like Von Miller, so he never really had a chance to shine, but he was the NFL sack king last year with 19 and a half sacks. They signed Ndamukong Suh, who's really strong up front. And then there's Todd Bowles leading the whole thing, who is just a mastermind. And he'll throw all these exotic looks at teams. He uses Vita Vea in pass coverage sometimes, this massive lineman dropping back in coverage. It's like, what's going on right now? He loves blitzing. He'll use his safeties and cornerbacks as linebackers. He'll move the lineman to the outside and bring the linebackers inside. It's just crazy what he does. So he's trying to, like, disguise and trick the opposing quarterbacks as much as he can. And there's, like, a balance there of trying to trick the opposing offense but also not trying to overload your own guys' brains when they're trying to learn these things. But I think Todd Bowles gets a lot of credit for his game planning, but then also just using these guys in their strengths and abilities. For example, Jason Pierre-Paul and Shaq Barrett, they actually, outside linebackers, they switched sides this year because Shaq feels more comfortable on rushing from the right, even though he rushed from the left all of last year. So it's like little things like that, just knowing your players' abilities and comfort levels. So yeah, and then the secondary, they definitely took their lumps last year. They were embarrassed against the Seahawks and Russell Wilson. And they have a huge chip on their shoulder because there was a preseason ranking that came out that ranked them 32nd in the NFL. And they mention that every chance they get, whether it's a press conference or social media. The secondary, I mean, they're young. I think the oldest, Carlton Davis, how much experience does he have? Like 3 or 4 years? That's the oldest one on the secondary. But you wouldn't know it because they're flying all over the place. They're in more of an attack mode this year, whereas they were a little bit more passive before. And again, that just comes down to like reps and being comfortable with the Todd Bowles defense. Because being in your first year with Bowles, that's going to be confusing for anyone. So they're playing with a lot more confidence this year with the goal of getting a couple turnovers per game, and they've already shown that. With a couple, forget which game it was. What did they have? Four or five takeaways, I think, against the Panthers. And that's their goal every game, and they have the ability to do that. So yeah, it's nice to finally see this defense getting some national recognition.
Yeah, absolutely. Grace, I was going to ask you, like, what's another strength of this defense, but it sounds like Todd Bowles' creativity and how he will use guys in, you know, multiple different ways is a strength there. Is there a name, similar question to the one on offense, that Bears fans should know about going into this matchup that maybe isn't getting that recognition right now?
I could go two ways with this. I know Bucks fans will want me to say Lavonte David. He's the seasoned vet at linebacker who he's averaging like double-digit tackles or something. Maybe that's an exaggeration, but he does everything right, everything you want a football player to do, and just doesn't get the credit. His numbers, if you stack them up against, you know, Luke Kuechly or I don't know, just there. Someone put out a list a few weeks ago, and his numbers are right up there with, like, we're talking all-time numbers, all-time career numbers. He's right up there, top five with the best linebackers of all time. But you just never hear about it because Tampa Bay doesn't really have that media pool. So I'll mention him. But who I really am high on right now is Antoine Winfield Jr., the second-round safety pick. He was trained by his dad. And this is funny, too. His dad had an interception against Tom Brady, I think, in 2001. So now his son is a teammate of Tom Brady's. It's just crazy. Brady's longevity. But Winfield was Defensive Rookie of the Month in September. He has 25 tackles, 2 sacks. And 2 pass breakups. So he is all over the place. You will see him lining up in, like, every secondary position. He'll line up on the line and blitz. He's good at tracking, you know, the run. He's a rookie, and you wouldn't know it. Everyone just praises him every chance they get. Bruce Arians said today he's the most mature rookie he's ever had. So Antoine Winfield Jr., he may be fresh out of college. Well, it's been a month, so maybe not fresh out anymore, but don't underestimate that guy.
Yeah, absolutely. And Grace, this is just a personal question because I'm a grad student pursuing a journalism degree. But with covering guys with such high pedigree like Tom Brady or even a Rob Gronkowski, what's it been like for you just covering this team?
Well, with COVID, it's kind of been a little bit of a bummer. We haven't really been able to see anyone in person. Everything's on Zoom call. But, I mean, they're just normal people. I mean, I don't know if you've seen some of the videos the Bucks have put out of, like, it's like the Tommy and Gronky show or something. They're just sitting there telling dad jokes. They're, like, really bad jokes. Like, you know, they're just like us. The interesting thing about Tom Brady, I mean, he decides when his availabilities are, what his schedule is. I mean, he's, like, right up there with the head coach. And it's the weekly avails are a little bit different. I think he'll accept all the questions, but on after game day, the post-game avail, he'll just walk off the podium. Even, like, the PR person will be like, okay, next question, he'll just leave. It's like Tom Brady decides when this thing is over. But it's been really cool to watch because before he got here, I really tried to do my research. I bought a bunch of books about him. They're on the shelf behind me. And just trying to, like, glean any sort of information or little nugget that I can. And I guess what kind of struck me is, like, he really does care about making the people around him better. For example, I have never heard the phrase soft tissue said so much in my life, but that's obviously huge with this TB12 method and the whole pliability thing. But so many times in these press conferences, we'll hear players talking about how they're working on their soft tissue recovery, and it's like, you clearly got that from Tom Brady. And, like, his goal is to play, who knows, till he's 50, whatever. He wants that to be everyone else's goal, too. And he'll chew into the guys for the littlest things. Cam Brate said today the first time Tom Brady kind of cussed them out was during a scrimmage in the offseason. They just jogged into the huddle instead of, like, sprinting, I guess. And that was kind of a habit the Bucks have had for the last few years of just kind of slowly getting on and off the field. And Tom Brady yells at them for that. So that quickly changed. And you see it at practice, too. It's just such a different demeanor of everyone there. Like, the players, the coaches, the media. Like, it's just, it's more big time. And we all knew that was coming, obviously. Like, a lot of us media members are being asked to go on more podcasts now, like you asked me. Like, no one really wanted insight on Tampa Bay before. And now everyone wants to hear about it. Like, it kind of elevates us in the media, too, having Tom Brady here. Gronk's a goofball. He's literally what you see is what you get. He's always laughing in his pressers. I mean, honestly, there's some real, like, belly laugh, laugh out loud moments because he's just ridiculous. But, you know, it's much needed in this world. Even if he doesn't get the playing time he wanted, you know, like, it looks like he's having fun and it makes it fun for the rest of us. So, I mean, it's honestly, it's a fun time in Tampa Bay. I wish we could be in the locker room getting to, you know, work on those personal relationships. That's, I'm sure you know, that's one of the best things about being a reporter is you can kind of have a one-on-one relationship behind the scenes, just stroll up to someone's locker, not even talk about football, just talk about life and how's the family and like, oh, did you see the LSU game? You know, talking about alma maters. So it's kind of a bummer we're missing out on that next year or this year, but I mean, there is, hopefully it all turns around next year and a lot of these guys will be back, so.
Yeah, hopefully things get better for everyone's sake, just so we can have those opportunities again. Grace, just to kind of end the Meet the Opponent episode, I have a two-part question for you, and we do it for every Meet the Opponent episode. So the first part of it is, why do the Bucks win on Thursday night?
I'm going to say, well, I'm going to say if the Bears' offense doesn't match the Bucks' offense, kind of drive for drive, that's why the Bucks will win. If the Bucks have their rushing game going, once they get the play action on those passes, I mean, they're going to be unstoppable. In this last game against the Chargers, I mean, they were down 17. The Bucks have passed would have never rallied. I mean, because it's kind of a mental thing, too. And like I said with Brady, the mental aspect of this team has also changed. So they're able to rally now. And there was about 30 minutes in that football game where they were just flawless. I think it was four straight touchdown drives. So if the Bears can't match that, then they're done. So
I agree.
that's why the Bucks will win.
So what will it take for the Bucks to lose and the Bears to win?
I'm going to say just make Tom Brady uncomfortable. We've praised Tristan Wirfs, but, you know, beat him, get in Tom Brady's face. He's significantly better in a clean pocket. I mean, most people are better in a clean pocket than when they're under duress, but Brady specifically isn't known to be a mobile quarterback. So I would say just put the pressure on him. And the Bears, you know, Khalil Mack, they have the ability there.
Yeah, it's one easier said than done. We'll see what ends up happening on Thursday night. But Grace, thank you so much for, again, hopping on the podcast and helping Bears fans know a little bit more about the Buccaneers. You want to let our listeners know how they can follow you and along just for the rest of game week, just so they can stay up to date with everything going on with the Buccaneers?
Yeah, my Twitter is @GraceRemy, REMIWTSP. I know it's long and confusing. That's my station's call letters, GraceRemyWTSP. You can probably just search Grace Remington and it'll pop up. And then we're at 10tampabay.com.
Awesome. Well, that's going to conclude this Meet the Opponent episode. Make sure you check out the preview podcast where Will and I, you know, break down this Bears and Bucks game. We'll talk to you guys after the game on Thursday night. But until next time, Bear Down, Chicago. Bear Down!